I would like to read tonight again from Genesis, chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. Verse 1, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to desire to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? The woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I told thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat of the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, from out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. I've read quite a bit tonight, but really, we have to read the whole story to get the gist of what it really is all about. We were looking at last night to see how that God put man in the Garden of Eden to dress and to keep it, and how that he was there for so long, and then God brought along his wife, and they were in a place that was a place of beauty, a place where everything was congenial for mankind, a place that was perfect, a perfect man and a perfect woman, something you've never seen. But now we've read tonight about how the serpent beguiled a woman. He came in with that doubt in her mind, first of all, Hath God said, Ye shall eat of every tree of the garden? And she said, and this is why we were reading last night too, about what God said over and over again in the first chapter, what God says, and it is so important, what God says. Whether we're speaking to unsaved people, or whether we're speaking to those in an assembly even, it's so important, the Word of God, just what it says. And he comes to her and he says, Hath God said? And she said, God has said, We shall not eat of it, neither shall we touch it, Now that's not what God said at all. God said, thou shalt not eat of it. But she added to it. And right away, the devil would know very well, she really doesn't know exactly what God says. And therefore, he was able to come out with that blatant statement, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And because it looked good, because it was something to make one wise, and it was good for food, it was good to look upon, she took of that forbidden fruit. She gave also to her husband, and he did eat. Now there was the very first sin that came into this world. And because of that sin, we have what we have today. Because it's just come in, and it's rampant on every hand. And of course people say, if it hadn't been for Adam's sin, I wouldn't be in the condition we're in. And the world wouldn't be in the condition we're in. Well, I look at it this way. If no one else had sinned but Robert McElwain, I would have been the first one. You see, we're just born all the same way. And we talk about the Irish, and we talk about the Scotch, and we talk about the colored person, and we talk about this, we're all of the same family. Because we all came from the same mother. Because we're right here tonight. Unto Adam also, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And you know, isn't it strange that people will not come back to the Bible and see what it says? We were speaking last night after meeting someone. There's a lady professor in the States, and she has found out through her studies that there's a certain thing passed on by the woman, by a mother, the father has nothing to do with. And she's come out with a blatant statement, we all came from one mother. That's why we're in the condition we're in. We were born of fallen stock. I remember one time, I was at Mr. Ramsey's place, Eva Ramsey, and one of the boys was in a tantrum. And she was all flustered and embarrassed. And she says, oh, that's Mother Eve. I said, no, that's Mother Eva. But it goes back to Mother Eve. Bert Joyce's wife one time, one of her boys was in a real bad condition. And Mr. Herb Harris was there, and she was going all, she was so embarrassed. He said, do you know why that child is like that, Emily? No, she says, I don't. He says, it's because his father and mother was like that. See, we've all come from the one stock. And Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they sinned against God, and they brought havoc. He sold the whole human race into the hands of Satan. And Satan has been the usurper of taking this whole globe under his spell and power. And as one has well said, the very angels, the very demons above us, this world, the air is charged with them. And that's what we're up against. And I want to say this as I pass by right now. We're looking for people to get saved, but I want to say, you brethren and sisters, as well as yourselves, we have got to get down on our knees. And we've got to cry to our God for the simple reason, if anybody gets saved in this meeting, it's going to be a miracle of the grace of God. Because the devil is getting more sway now than he ever had in America and Canada. One of the preachers was telling us about Cuba and telling us way back years ago when they were kicked out by Castro. They were telling us about the different things that was happening in Cuba and the demon worship and all the rest of it. I said to one preacher one night after, I said, well, you know, isn't it true that the devil has access to this whole globe? He said, yes. I said, how come then you find that in Cuba and it's not here? He said, I'll give you 15 years. And that's back quite a few years ago. And I said, why would you say that? He said, because America has kicked God out. That was when the big slogan was, God is dead. amongst the teenagers going to school. And he says, I'll give you 15 years. And you know something? I've seen it with my own eyes. Going down Yonge Street in Toronto one time, I couldn't believe my eyes. Well, here's this person with his pointed hooded cape, black, right down to the ground. I said to the man I was with, I said, what in the world is this? He says, a demon worshiper. One night after, when I was in the motel there, the hotel downtown, I went out for a walk. I didn't know I was getting out of all this, but I just wanted to go. I went out for a walk, and I turned the corner, and I was going, and the first thing I saw, one of those ladies coming. My, is it possible I'm going to meet a person that actually worships the devil? She got a little closer. I could see she was coming right towards me. I wanted to go the other way, but then she said to me, sir, would you give us a donation for our cause? I said, what's your cause? I already knew, but I wanted to... Well, she said, you wouldn't understand. She says, I'll just leave it like that, but would you give us a... I said, I don't give anything to something I don't know what it's for. And she said, well, she said, I suppose you think of that person up in heaven there as being God. I said, I certainly do. But she says, you're wrong. She says, the person that you would think as the devil is really God. And that one up there is Satan. And she says, that's the one that we worship, and we need some more donations. You know, it simply creeps up my spine. I turned away from her. I said, I'm sorry. I can't do anything for you. And my knees went weak. My brothers actually come in contact with demons. We have no conception of the power of the devil. Even us who are saved, we have no conception the mighty power of this Satan that's rampant in the world today. And what's he doing? He's trying to keep people from getting the door of salvation. Just like he did with our first parents. And he's deceiving. And he's had 6,000 years of knowing how to deceive people. And maybe some of you young people in the meeting, like saved parents going to heaven, let me say to you, I feel sorry for you because you're living in a day when there's so much pressure on every hand, peer pressure and everything else coming in upon you, and if you're going to get saved, you'll have to get down to business. You'll have to put an effort forth. And you'll have to do as the Savior said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because narrow is the gate. Narrow is the way to heaven, and there's few that find it. Now then, I want to go on here. Now comes God into the garden. I want to say, as I pass by here right now, I want to say that every person inside these four walls tonight, as well as every individual in this world tonight, has to meet God. Either in time and of the matter of their sins settled, or in eternity to be cast in the lake of fire. Meet God I must, said the man that went around the north of Ireland with a bicycle and a can of paint. He put it in every stone he could find. Meet God I must. And he came home, sat down in the first morning meeting after he was home, and as he was sitting around the table breaking bread, he gave thanks, and he sat down. He tumbled over into the aisle, and he was in eternity. His work was over. My friend, I want to say very emphatically tonight, every individual here tonight, you've got to meet God. There's no getting around it. And here's these two people, the first two in the world, only one sin on their conscience yet. And yet, it says that God came into the garden in the cool of the day. They had to meet him. And God brings them out. They didn't run after God. Wouldn't you think now? Let me ask you a question. Wouldn't you think that these people who had been in a perfect garden, perfect people, wouldn't you think that they would rush to get back into the presence of God again? But oh no. began to hide amongst the trees of the garden. And they're hiding from God. Listen, when you come to Romans 3, you'll find there's none that seeketh after God. A little girl was sitting in the meeting after the meeting one afternoon down in Prince Edward Island, and she was sitting there weeping. She was about maybe 18 years of age. When I sat down beside her, "What's your problem?" She says, "I don't want to go to hell." So we said, "Why would you go to hell?" Well, she said, "Because of my sin." I said, "How do you know that you've got sin?" Well, she says, "I've heard the preacher." Well, I said, "You've got to hear more than that." And so we turned to Romans 3, and we said, "Then you go down that list there, and you see if any of those sins you're not guilty of." So she started to read, and you could see her eye going back and forth across the page. And then she sat up. "Oh, there's something you have seen that you're not guilty of." "Well," she says, "it says here that none are seeking after God." And she says, "I'm seeking after God, am I not?" "No, no, my dear," we had to tell her, "you're not seeking after God, but that's God seeking after you. And if you're in the midst of the night and you have no trouble whatsoever, you don't think about it, it doesn't bother you at night when you go to bed at night, or it doesn't bother you in school, or whatever the case may be, then we can only say God not dealing with you, and you cannot get saved in that condition." See, we're living in a land of so, what'll I say, an easy gospel. All you got to do is just go and whenever you feel like it, just say a little prayer and you'll get to heaven. No, my friend, there's a whole lot more to God's salvation than that. It's a reality when a person passes from darkness to light. But when the Spirit of God comes upon a soul and makes them think about this, that's God speaking. Let me tell you, that's your day of opportunity. That's your time to get it. Whatever you do, don't let the devil cheat you out of it. And here's these two. And God says to Adam, he comes in the garden, "Where art thou?" I want to ask you right now, every person in this meeting, where are you? That's a word, that's a question from God. Where are you? Now listen, if somebody tonight was to find out where their whereabouts for eternity, this would be a good meeting. Up on the highway, north of Toronto, on the Barrie Highway, there's a great big sign at the end of a kind of a big curve there. And there's roads going different directions. And there's a map of the road going up into the north. And there's a great big dot. And it says, "This is where you are now." Now, you know where you are. So therefore, you can know which way you want to go. God is wanting you to find out where you are tonight. Let me ask you again, where are you? In the light of an eternity that'll never end. That will be for all eternity, either heaven or hell. Where are you? The only way you can be in heaven is you're redeemed by precious blood. Saved by the grace of God. But are you saved or are you lost? Maybe there's somebody in the meeting and you say, "Oh, I'd like to know for sure, but I'm not too sure." Man, I want to tell you this is something we've got to be sure about. I've been saved for 59 years, and there's a good lot of times I've gone back over it again. I know some preachers don't like you going back over. They say you put that behind you, and you go on to the next step. Well, I've gone on to the next step. I was baptized. And I went to the next step, and I was gathered to the lost name. But I want to tell you, I still go back over sometimes. Is it possible? Can it be? Barbara McElwain, after those years, saying you're saved and going out, is it possible? I made a mistake. I said again, some preachers don't like that, but I don't mind. It's me that I'm thinking of right now. And it's my soul that's at stake. Am I really born into the family of God? What do? I get back to John 3:16 again. And so there it is. Very good. Let me ask you tonight, friend, what are you depending on to take you to heaven? What have you got? A feeling? Or somebody sitting down and taking a verse and saying, do you believe that? And you say, yes, I believe that. One man came to a man sitting in his house and he said, went over John 3:16, couldn't get a better verse. He says, God so loved the world, do you believe that? He says, yes, I do, I believe that. Then he gave his only begotten son, do you believe that? Yes, sure, I believe that. He went over the whole verse, do you believe it? Yes, he says, I believe it. Why wouldn't he say he believes it? Well, he says, then you're saved. Well, he says, am I? Now that's not salvation. I want to say very definitely tonight, this business of going to heaven is a reality. It's not something that happens in a dream. It's not something that happens when I'm sound asleep. It's not something that happens in a vision. But it is a revelation from God when it happens. He says, where art thou? He was out in the clear and he had to admit where he was. And he had to admit his sin. Then God says, hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou shouldst not eat? And he blames it on the wife. You know, he's actually blaming on God. He says, the woman whom thou gavest me. He's actually blaming God for giving him the woman that made him do it. Isn't that like mankind? But I want to say, a person will come to this conclusion. Look, I am the sinner. That's what the man in Luke 18 was made to realize. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. As if there was no other. I'm the one. And when a person gets to there, they can understand this too, that I'm the one Jesus died for. Because salvation is so simple. And so he turned to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? She said, the serpent beguiled me. Now she blames the serpent. See, people will blame anything. But when a person gets down to rock bottom business about this matter, I was telling them at the conference, maybe somewhere here, there, about Eddie Walsh. And then we took him home after the meeting, went home with him, and he told us how he professed to be saved. And he was all happy, mind was full of joy. The more he talked, the more we wondered, is he really God? Last we said, Eddie, if God had sent you into eternity 2 or 3 days ago, before this happened that you're saying, would he have been just in some week? Then he started his time. Then he began to stutter. He said, well, he said, I know I've been a bad man, but he said, I can't see that what I've done warrants being in hell forever. Well, we had to make a black mistake. Maybe you're not sure. He was mad. He went out of the house that night with his fist clenched. He told us afterwards, he was about to spend. Keep his little family out. His brother-in-law, and he was gone to the night. Nobody says he did that. What he was. Sure enough, he was back the next night. I said to him on the way out that night, I said, how is the night any? Oh, is there a merchant ever now? I'm really lost. Thank God that he didn't hear the journey, he didn't hear the goal now. About 3 nights later, he said after me, he says, I want you to come downstairs. So I went downstairs, he said, something happened to me this morning. And I want you to tell me, is that salvation? I said, what happened? He says, I couldn't sleep after the meeting last night. He says, all I could think of, I'm going to hell. I'm going to be there. There's no way out. And he says, I got down at 5 o'clock this morning, I went down to the kitchen. And he says, I opened my Bible. And he says, I got down on my 2 knees. And I said, oh God, if you send me to hell and forever, it's all I deserve. Getting near Calvary now. And he said, it just dawned on me. Christ died for the ungodly. Well, that's me. He died for me.
He says, is that salvation? And he said, Eddie, I've got nothing more.
My dear friend, I want to tell you,
it's a revelation from God to the soul. Not a vision, no. But it's a revelation. God reveals to the soul that salvation.
My time is gone. I have to leave the rest of it. But listen, whatever you do, if there's somebody here not saved, whatever you do, don't let the devil cheat you any further. He's doing a good job of it thus far. You're in your teens, or your 20s, or your 30s, and he's cheated you all this time. May God speak to your soul and make you realize, I'm ready, I've got to meet God. I've got nothing to meet him with. Come to Christ for salvation, and I want to tell you, he'll receive you. He has promised you, according to his promise.